time for Message in the Bottle. Brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Joining us, as always, on Tuesday afternoon, the man whose mojo got Princeton into the Sweet 16 and got Fairleigh Dickinson to knock off number one Purdue, Jersey boy Eric Meehan, with us.
It's all about New Jersey. It really is. I'm feeling good. You know, this is a silly thing to say, but I feel like that part of the world, for all of the sheer density of population, amongst other things, money, yada, yada, yada. Not that great athletics come from money, but I mean, money helps collegiate athletics, certainly, and professional athletics. I have always been stunned, and I guess before I was sort of cognizant of it, that there was not a huge successful sports scene, basketball related, especially in this area. Certainly the Jets have been forlorn forever. You know, there was before my time when there was sort of less money everywhere, but especially basketball. So I'm really excited to sort of see that basketball's on the rise again. Of course, St. John's just made an intriguing hire in the college basketball world. I think it's great. Speaking of sports and money, it might interest you to know that the Imperial Overlord Roger Goodell is now employed through early 2027 at a sum of course they're not going to tell you.
No.
But a lot. More than you're making, whoever you are, unless Elon or Jeff is listening. Wow.
Yeah. Hey, I have to see if this applies to you. So our friend David Roth of Defector was on yesterday, yeah. And he said when it came to Fairleigh Dickinson, he said, how would I explain them to those not from this part of the country? I would say this. It's a place that had a rude nickname. Kids all called it Fairleigh Ridiculous, but whose facilities you would inevitably wind up using at least once if you played youth sports at all in the state of New Jersey.
Also accurate. And funnier also, in fairness, is that, what is it, Merrimack is actually the team from their conference that was supposed to go.
Right,
going through the recertification process. So they got in really by default. And that's really what, with respect, Fairleigh Dickinson always felt like to me, is default. But God bless them. And then I guess their coach just took over for Patino at Iona. So, you know, it's the circle of life. It's always funny. It's funny time of year for all the coaching mechanisms. It makes me laugh. So I hope everybody out there is well. By the way, speaking of the weather, it is gorgeous out. I was spending the time that John was on chatting, just kind of absorbing some rays before I came on with you. So anybody who has the opportunity or needs a dog to walk or whatever, go. After my segment.
Yes, of
course.
After
the whole show. Unless, of course, you have streaming, which I do on my phone. So today we've been talking about sort of packaging and stuff like that for wine. And today we're talking about cans and sort of in a larger respect, canning and storing in bulk and some other new innovations. So to get some basic generalities out of the way for everyone, liquid stores better in bulk. It stores better in bulk in the dark, so it doesn't get UV rays or it also doesn't oxidate as quickly because, frankly, basically the less surface area, etc., and the more volume of liquid itself is your advantage. So, like when you come into the store, for instance, you see our olive oils and vinegars in the fustis, right? It's contained from the light, and it's also in bulk. And that way, when we dispense it, it's as fresh as we can get it for you. It also, needs mentioning, it ships cheaper when it's in bulk, right? So about getting as little cubic space occupied by oxygen and or packing materials as possible. Figuring that out is advantageous to the people shipping it over, to the point where I know people on this side of the world who have created their own bulk shipping, tanks, essentially, that they send over empty and bring back full because it is more advantageous, both for getting the freshest stuff possible and also for cost effect. And then, of course, there's the question, especially in this country, which it is for the best. I'm not questioning the motives necessarily. And you see this in certain other countries, but not in all, is that the government does have some standards as to what you bring in a certain package, a bulk package, and then when you redistribute it into smaller retail packages, how accurate you're being and is it legal. I point to, in this case, when I was, and by the way, this is going to be revisited, it sounds like, next year, so that's exciting. But when I was trying to get through retail shops like mine, being able to dispense beer and wine from kegs into smaller growlers, the people who are standing against me, for reasons that we'll go into profit-wise, we're basically saying, well, it goes against the federal law of repackaging something and relabeling it, basically insinuating that I would take, say, Allagash White and relabel it as Eric's White Beer and sell it. And I'm like, well, that's absurd. Of course, I don't think anybody would want mine, but they would probably want Allagash. But the reason, of course, is that, again, because of it's all money, obviously. When something is in keg, the cost per serving is lower than the packaging that you would buy. So it's just it all goes back to the profit for the company, of course. Other things that have appeared on the scene that are kind of interesting. I mentioned just now wine kegging. Yes, that's a thing. Very often, if the cooler places that you go into, if they have like a Prosecco special or Prosecco on draft or something like that, that is indeed Prosecco on draft. And it's usually quite nice. And again, it's fresh and wonderful. They also sometimes will have a couple of whites and reds available, whether they're blends or mono varietals. The disadvantage is you're not going to be able to get any like name wines at this point. No one's like putting, Camus Cabernet in kegs. They don't need to. But it's still something kind of cool if you don't mind drinking, the house four. The chances are it's probably fresh and wonderful, so just be on the lookout for that. They have been trying to put wine in like cans, like 12-ounce cans. It really hasn't worked that well. I mean, they've sold, and they've increased in volume in that there was basically none on the market, and then there was some on the market. But what really has happened, and I'll just touch on this with my last sort of minute and a half here with you guys, is that when they started doing that, they also started doing something very interesting, which is putting ready-to-drink, or RTD, cocktails in cans as well. They're like, well, geez, if we can put wine in cans, and people are kind of okay with that, maybe we can put, a Manhattan in a can, or a Moscow Mule in a can, or a margarita in a can. And so what's happened is, while the wine in a can thing was to the point where at least one company I know, Underwood, was able to basically sell their entire wine facility based on their cans, but they were really the outlier. But it's these RTDs that have now not only done very well, but indeed bitten into the wine category to the point where wine sales are actually going down in this country, which is the first time that has happened in my career, which is 20 years long and probably longer than that. I would imagine definitely longer than that, to the point where it's actually a real threat to the wine industry, and they're like, okay, what do we do about this? Because those sacred millennials, etc., don't necessarily get behind the wine train. They weren't taught that it was anything sacred or anything like that, which is true. It's not necessarily, but they find it far easier to have a couple of these, and as I said, to the point where it's actually bitten in, you know, not a ton, but like 2-3% into the wine business, which any, you know, suited executive will tell you is send shivers down their back. So just kind of an interesting phenomenon. I'm sure I'm out of time. Take care of each other, everyone. And next week we'll talk about shipping wine and boxes and all sorts of stuff like that.
Is Christine back home, and is Greta still on the couch?
Christine is not home. She is in Stanford, Florida, I believe, right now. She had an event at the Stanford Brewing Company. She's doing marvelously well, and Greta's somewhere. I don't know. She's doing okay. She's doing okay. She's out there. Yeah, she's hanging out with my son.
Yep, good deal right there.
She's finally able to go back to the store and everything, so she's getting the customer love. That's good for her.
Life is good. Thanks, Eric. Enjoy that beautiful weather, and we'll check in with you next week.
Will do. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Eric Mann, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, Message in the Bottle.